Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Bank of India, I extend a warm welcome to the esteemed members of the analyst fraternity who have joined us today. We are pleased to announce the Bank of India's financial results for Q4 FY23. The Bank of India has reported a stellar result with a net profit of ₹1,350 crores, which is up by 123% Y on Y. I would like to thank the management of Bank of India for being here with us today to address all of you. Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, MD and CEO, Shri P.R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Das Gupta, Executive Director, Shri Subrat Kumar, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, and Shri Sankar Sen, CFO of the bank. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us here on the stage today. We will now begin the analyst briefing. To start, I would like to invite Shri Rajneesh Karnatak to address this gathering, after which we will open the floor for a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, madam. Good evening, everyone. First of all, thank you to all the analysts for coming here today in physical and also in the virtual mode. So Bank of India is 117 years of successful journey, founded on 7th September 1906 by a group of eminent businessmen from Mumbai, beginning with one office in Mumbai with a paid-up capital of 50 lakh and 50 employees. The bank has made rapid growth over the years and blossomed into a mighty institution with a strong national presence and sizable international operations. In business volume, the bank occupies a premier position among the nationalized banks. The bank has 5,129 branches in India, spread all over the states, union territories, including specialized branches. These branches are controlled through 70 zonal offices and 13 NBG offices. The bank has staff strength of 52,000 plus as on March 23. Presently, bank has overseas presence in 15 foreign countries, spread over 5 continents, with 45 branch offices, including 4 subsidiaries, 1 representative office, and 1 joint venture. At key banking and financial centers like Tokyo, Singapore, Hong Kong, London, Paris, New York and Dubai. So you already have seen the numbers which have been uploaded. Just the key numbers which I would like to share over here is, as far as the business growth is concerned, global business has increased by 9% year on year from 10,84,000 in March 22 to 11,85,000 crores as on March 23. Global deposits have increased by 6% year on year from 6,27,000 crores in March 22 to 6,69,000 crores as on March 23. As far as global advances are concerned, they have increased by 12.87% year on year from 4,57,000 crores in March 22 to 5,15,000 in March 23. As far as the deposit is concerned, domestic CASA went up by 2.72% year on year from 2,45,000 crores in March 22 to 2,52,000 crores in March 23, with a very healthy CASA ratio of 44.73%. Domestic advances increased by 9.56% year on year and they have touched 4,31,000 crores in March 23. Overseas deposits increased by 33% from 77,063 crores to 1,02,000 crores in March 23. As far as the asset quality is concerned, gross NPAs declined from 45,605 crores to 37,686 crores in March 23, a year-on-year reduction of 7,900 crores, 17.37% reduction. Sequentially also, gross NPAs have reduced by 1,100 crores from 38,885 crores. Net NPAs have also come down from 9,852 crores in March 22 to 8,054 crores in March 23, a year-on-year reduction of 18.25%. As far as the profitability is concerned, operating profit improved by 69% from 2,466 crores in Q4 22 to 4,184 crores in Q4 FY23. A sequential basis, it improved by 14% from 3,652 crores in Q3 FY23. Net profit improved by 123% from 606 crores to 1350 crores in Q4 23, a sequential net profit improvement of 17%. For the full year, operating profit improved by 34% from 9900 crores in FY 22 to 13300 crores in FY 23. Net profit improved by 18% in year on year basis from 3400 crores to 4023 crores in FY 23. As far as the key ratios are concerned, NIM improved by 65 basis points from 2.36% in FY 22 to 3.01% in FY 23. Capital adequacy ratio stood at 16.28% in 31/3/2023. Provision coverage ratio is 89.68% in March 23 as against 87.76% in March 22. Cost to income ratio has improved by 340 basis points year on year from 54.48% to 51.08% in FY 23. ROA has improved by 6 basis points from 0.43% to 0.49%. ROE stood at 10.31% in FY 23 as against 10.55%. So with this key ratios, I open the field for any questions or observations. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir, for those wonderful insights and congratulations on the stellar results. We request our teams and analysts here to raise their hands. One of our representatives will hand over a mic to you. We kindly request you that you restrict your questions to two at a time, allowing other attendees to interact with the management. For any further questions, if time permits, we will come back to you.
After Thank you, sir, and compliments to the entire team for very good overall annual results for the whole year of the bank. I got a couple of observations and questions, and they should not be taken as one question or two questions because it can be some discussion also on that. So I request to me to allow, permit me to ask those questions and make some observations also. Sir, one is that on the quarter, if you look quarter to quarter, I mean the third quarter and fourth quarter, our credit growth is muted almost. And the overall credit of the bank also, if you see the loan book, it is on the lower side as compared to many of the other peer banks. So going forward, are we giving a target of 14-15%, 16%, and how are we going to grow our credit book? This is one observation and a question. If you come on the digital, you know, now this thing is separate segment now, started giving in the segment-wise reporting, whereas other banks are giving as the total capital employed on digitalization and the assets created and the liability created. In our case, we have not given the capital employed on the total digitalization, only given us the loss or profit of 32 crore or 80 crore of that business done. So a separate segment requirement by RBI is basically to give the color that how much total capital you have employed on the digitalization, which is a separate segment. Going forward, this segment is going to be developed like anything, and it will have lakhs of crores of business through digital media, and the profit loss and everything can be calculated. So on that, though we have been hearing that so much of amount has been allocated, budgeted, spent on digital, but in your capital employed, you have not mentioned that how much is capital employed on this business. This is something which needs some discussion and some clarification. And the slippage side also, the slippage in this quarter is increased to 2,441 crore from 818 crore the last time. So if some color can be given on that, some highlights of that. And if you look at the cost side, the employee's cost has gone up by almost about 1,100 crore as compared to the last quarter. You know, 1,783 crores to 2,867 crores. Even if you take the extra pension, additional pension, and also the wage revision, this together comes to only 400 crore. So still the total cost on the employees has gone up by another 600 crores. So what is the reason for that, and going forward, how much figure we should take on quarter-on-quarter basis, considering the standard quarterly results with this wage revision and pension, additional pension allocation. And the last one in this round is about the additional provision which the bank is holding. Because if you look at the note number 12, RBI circular 7 June 2019, we have an exposure of 7,910 crore, on which the provision is only 2,078 crore. Similarly, on other assets also, there is a outstanding is more, whether IBC or this, as compared to the provision. So, okay, as per the RBI norms and standards, these figures have been provided for. But how much COVID buffer we have in the provision and how much overall buffer we have in the provision so as to arrive at some figures in the future quarters to come. These are some of the observations and some questions, and I may come back again if time permits. Thank you, sir. And welcome to you, sir, as the MD and CEO of Karnataka, sir. We have seen you in Union Bank doing wonders in the credit portfolio also there. You are heading it, and we hope that you will take the Bank of India to further glorious heights. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ajmera ji. 6 questions you have asked in the first round. So we will take it one by one. So I will start with the credit one, advances one. So as far as the global credit is growth is concerned, we have grown by 12.87%. As far as the domestic credit growth is concerned, we have grown at 9.56%. So that is, I think, a adequate growth which is there. As far as the guidance is concerned for credit growth, we are giving a guidance of 11.27% on the global side, and on the domestic side it will be 12.83. So it will range from 11 to 12%. So if you will ask them the why it is a muted growth, say 11 to 12%, and why not a 15 to 16% of growth. So the simple reason is that now the base of all the banks has increased on the credit side, not only our Bank of India, but all the banks in the banking system. So the credit growth, I do not think that it will be as robust and as high as it was in 23-24, when it will happen in 23-24. Yeah. So that is one reason why we are giving a growth which is around 11 to 12%, and we are very confident that we will be able to achieve with a good mix of RAM advances of around 55% and corporate advances of around 45%, and also the international book also within that. So I think that is a good enough advances. Another thing which is very important here is that if you see the data of Reserve Bank of India and the historical data, credit growth is normally 2x of the GDP growth. So when RBI is saying there will be a GDP growth as per March 23 numbers of 5.5%, so based on the historical data, the growth can be 10 to 11% only if it is a 2x. So 22-23 was a aberration as far as the credit growth was concerned, for the simple reason that we were coming out of COVID and March 21 base was very low. That is why the base of March 22-23 looked high as far as the credit is concerned. But now it will moderate to the levels which are there for the cycle for the GDP growth also. So this is the reason why we have taken it at 11 to 12%. So now the next question was on the digital side. I would request ED Rajgopal ji to please take it.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Ajmera ji, so we have been talking about this one. If you see, I have given on slide on the amount of loans that has been disbursed, assets created out of digital, and the liabilities also created out of digital. We have around 500 crores in agri gold.
NPA asset quality.
Slide number deta hu.
37.
It is there. 37, sir. You can see the slide if you have. You can see that. So if you see that, these are all some numbers that we have created in digital. So one thing that I would like to clarify is, no, digital we have started. This is the proof of what we have done in digital. In MSME small loans, we have already completely digitized. We are the first bank to do an STP till disbursement. And we have also digitized personal loans till disbursement. KCC, we are also the first bank to digitize KCC till the end, till disbursement. Agri Gold is also digitized. SB account is another thing that we have digitized, doing very well. So now the numbers will start coming in. Now that is one part of the question. So we will actually cover it separately from next time onwards once the numbers improve. That is one point. So that we will put it next time onwards. We will do that as a part of segment reporting. We will do that as a part of segment reporting.
Union Bank did 35,000 crore and 42,000.
So we will do that.
41,000 crore.
Actually, we under AS 21, we have not recognized that as segment as of now. So we will continue to recognize it going forward. It's a good suggestion. I am taking it. So we'll examine that, and if possible, we'll do that. Today, what is happening is treasury and the banking is what we have the report. So we'll do that separately. That's a good thing. But anyway, with respect to the question that you asked, whether we report what is the assets created, liability created, this is what we have started now. So it will start improving. In this, it's purely digital. It is not something that, you know, we have an LOS, sanction kar diya, aisa nahi hai. It's purely till disbursement. Theka? That is one point. Another point, in terms of the capital outlay doesn't happen. Basically, it is an expenditure outlay insofar as the IT expenditure is concerned. The budget outlay, to be very precise. For next 5 years, we already shared with you long time back that 5,000 crores is the budget outlay for IT insofar as we are concerned. We already spent around 2,000 crores plus. Now today, what is the position, status of our IT is we have got LOS already in place, lending origination system, which is robust till disbursement. We have got a lead management system in place, which is end to end and then live in terms of customer can just see whether his status is done or not. So status is available to him on real time basis. So this we have already done. Yeah. It is already taken. It is accounted for fully because as a part of the OPEX, it comes. These are all part of OPEX. The CAPEX part is very, very small. In IT expenditure, CAPEX part is very small. Okay, it is not a big number. Only that, you know, hardware comes under CAPEX. Most of it is all OPEX only for us. Even our ATMs are OPEX. So it is absorbed as part of OPEX expenditure. That is another answer for you where our OPEX goes up. Because our OPEX goes, naturally our expenses also goes up. That is the point. And the third question, if I remember correctly, you asked about the provisions. So yes, you are right that no 202 crores have been made and then 183 crores plus has been made in with respect to staff family pension area. Okay. Apart from that, staff expenditure has gone up by 600 crores, you have said. So this is basically what you see, last 2 years, there was no much travel in terms of COVID and all. So there was a subdued expenditure in terms of travel. Now really travel has started very well. So TA is another expenditure that has come up. And we have also increased certain expenditure and certain perks to the award staff as well as the officers. In terms of their perks for the drivers and all that. So that expenditure also gets covered. So this is the final number. This is because normally that kind of perks all get revised once in 3 years. So it is not an issue. So this will be there. So this OPEX expenditure for IT also will remain at standard. That's what it is. Yeah.
As regards Ashok, just to supplement Mr. Rajagopal's point of view also, the CRM next is one area where we are concentrating much. Earlier it was all independent. Leads come in falls in a different places. Now we have integrated it, entire thing. Whatever leads comes to the BC points, whether from the social media and other BC centers, all that gets percolated to the branch level and we are monitoring that. So that will take care of the lead generation for especially under the MSME segment. Second, coming to the slippage point your point is well taken. You should see that our slippage ratio has come down from 2.15 to 1.93. That's one good point happening every quarter on quarter. We are able to improve this quarter, especially. You are right that there's a spike because you should know that agriculturists had some issues in the COVID times and a lot of problems had occurred. So there are some pain points. It was in much higher numbers, but due to our continuous engagement with the field, we were able to bring down that some of the guys who are mostly in the agri KCC segment to renew it. So some of them could renew, and as you know rightly, the IRAC norms are set in auto thing happens. So this spike in agri. That's about 1,400 is because of this, in the last quarter only. And that what we are, it is not a problem and pain point. What is happening is, if you are continuously, now we have put up task force teams in each zone to account wise being monitored at the branch level. And those are renewal. Once the renewal takes place, then this will come out. Upgradation of those assets will happen. That's about the slippages.
Sir, since you are there on this SR. There is some incremental listing also. Is there any NARCL SRs now?
Recently,
last quarter only?
Yeah, you should know that NARCL, we had identified two accounts, one in paper and one in sugar. But we have not had any transactions happening because that guarantee has to come in from the government, you know.
And they have provided also on that NARCL SR also 100%.
I was thinking whether you also had any such thing. NARCL SR you have received and you have provided. NARCL has not yet started at all. We don't have any. Our number is both. Not started with BOI. And this is 100% provided for all these SRs. Yes, yes. See, SRs are either in the MTM or in the NPI. In NPI, both cases it is provided and 100%. 2,500 plus are provided
plus this additionally the slippage ratio also we are giving a guidance of roughly 1.4 for the current fiscal, so the improvement will be on continuous basis in this regard.
Thank you, Mr. Ajmera. We'd like to move on to the next question. A humble request, if you could please introduce yourself and your organization. In addition, it'll be great if we take two questions. It'll make it easy for the management to answer them and ensure that we do not miss out on any important detail.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. This is Himanshu from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC Limited. First couple of clarifications. Since your exit margins is around 3.15, last quarter it was 3.28. I think if I recollect, there was a last quarter there was an income tax refund of around 250 crore last quarter. What was this quarter interest on a income tax refund? And if we exclude the impacts of such, what is a like-to-like comparison? That's the first part.
Yeah, give him a mic. You want me to answer that? Correct.
Last time we included 175 crore. This particular quarter, it was 50 crore. So, if you remove from both the sides, definitely it is almost on the parity. There is no much aberrations from the sequentially.
Sure, sir. Sir, second is your since you are closed the year with a 3% margins. And I need the outlook how one should see your margins for FY24 and what are the levers to attain the same, like what is MCLR book yet to reprice. Secondly, since you have stated in past as well that earlier because of this PCNOMS you have done lot of lending to the government guaranteed advances. So, although that proportion has come down from 12% last year to 10%, how this is going to be incrementally going forward? Ideally, is to understand how your margins will likely to be and what are the levers.
For the financial year 2024, the guiding number is 3.16. That is that's what we are planning. Then we are again telling that government guaranteed advances we are now leveraging. The thing what had happened, ki earlier we are more confined to the risk weight, and in this government guaranteed advances the risk weight is 20%. And because of some issues, we are focusing on that. But now what had happened, because of that, in some state government, there is a concentration. So we prudently decide that in some state, we are already reached to our threshold level, we are not going to increase our exposure. Coupled with that, the government guaranteed advances, though the market liability side is demanding nowadays for 1 year loan they are expecting 7.8, 7.9. Whereas if you raise similar type of liability, it's very difficult to get. So it will take some time. They also should know that at those rates, it's not available. Because of that reason, we are now shifting towards mid-corporate segment. And wherever the quality assets are there, we are definitely going to take those assets and protect our margins.
Sir, thirdly, how much cost of deposits you expect to increase from the current levels?
See, as of now, cost of deposits 50 bps is something that we are expecting. It is already factored and repricing has already happened with respect to 50 bps. Okay, so we don't expect more than this because there is a tapering that we are expecting with respect to rates. So if the tapering happens, so correspondingly the marginal cost of deposit we are not looking at very seriously. So 50 bills already been factored.
Sure. Sir, another clarification, if you can just give your provisions on the investments is around 1130 crores. If you can just give an explanation what led to this.
Yeah, you can explain. I know that. See, I'll explain. See, what has happened is, so there are security receipts which were actually held in MTM basis. So they have actually, their tenor has already crossed 8 years, the threshold. So they have been reclassified as non-performing investments. So whatever was held as depreciation in the investment book has shifted to provisions book. Okay?
Okay, sure. Sir, just few more. Sir, last quarter we made a provision of 806 crore on your standard, because if I believe there are 5 accounts towards which you have provided. What is the current on those view on those accounts, and do you expect any reversal or write backs on such accounts?
Now, if you see the accounts already on the presentation also, if you just look at those numbers, already 850 crores has been reversed, has been accounted for as a provision for NPAs. It has been taken into NPL provisioning. Okay, the remaining has been kept as a part of 7th June circular provisioning. And additional provision of around 700 crores has been made in 7th June circular in terms of RBI guidelines because of the resolution issues. So that continues to be there. So these 5 accounts, big accounts, already 800 crores reversal has already taken place. Only thing is, it is adjusted against NPAs instead of reversing it to P&L. So we did not reverse to P&L, we have taken it as additional provisioning for NPA.
Okay, okay.
Those accounts have been in order and there is no default as per 7th circular. Once 180 days there is no default, then we can.
Yeah.
That's the reason we.
Okay, sure. And sir, last question is, since you closed the year with a 0.49% ROA, how one should think, what are your next target for FY24?
We are looking at 0.75 as our ROA.
Okay, and what is your credit cost guidance for within
credit
that?
Credit card guidance will be
0.75.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Requesting again to please stick to 2 questions so that everybody gets a chance to engage.
Sir, my credit card will be okay.
Okay, 0.75.
Sir, Ramesh Bhojwani from Mehta & Vakil. First and foremost, many congratulations on being appointed as the CMD of such an esteemed and such a large bank.
Yeah, and CEO.
Pardon me?
MD and CEO.
MD and CEO.
CMD post is not anymore there.
Yes. And the first thing is, going through the results, it has been an exceptionally performance year on all parameters. Wherever you look, whichever angle, whichever aspect you look, the bank has performed extremely well. And I was looking at your non-interest income, page 10, slide 20. There is a observation, your recovery in written-off accounts have crossed 1,073 crores. So, plus there is a profit on sale to ARCs. All the heads, even here you see, it has been an outstanding performance. The thought which comes to my mind, going forward, will we maintain this or we will even outdo this?
Absolutely. I think we have very clear. This time what we have done is we have identified large number of accounts on small values. So that could able to give. We have a very robust non-discriminatory and non-discretionary OTS policies of the bank, which has fired, and we are able to resolve about 2.60 lakh accounts amounting to 5,000 crores. That's why these numbers are good. And I don't think this traction will stop. It will keep going and it will further get good benefits in the quarters to come.
Because I felt that your guidance was a little conservative, which is a very, very wise thing to do, that you undercommit and overperform. That was the thought which I was carrying. Looking at this, I was pleasantly surprised that all parameters, the performance has been outstanding. So going forward, we maintain this at least.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All the best.
Next question.
Congratulations on a very stable result, Sushil Choksi, Indus Equity. So first is, we've consolidated very well between 2015 to now with various challenges which emerged at that time. The balance sheet and the performance in last 2-3 years indicate that we can outsmart the industry in very many aspects. So credit guide on growth is one. But what kind of initiatives are we taking to re-garner back our old glory?
See, 2-3 things. So if you remember, Choksi sir, when we started, first of all, MSME we have lost heavily during the PCA days, because we said that, you know, we cannot have BBB- and BB- accounts. So RWA was an issue at that point in time. So we had to shed a lot of mid-corporate accounts and BBB- accounts. So what we have done, no, we have actually done a very marginal growth in BBB- and BB- account. If you see our RWA, it has gone up by almost 30,000 crores compared to the last year RWA. So the density has also increased, because I am today comfortable in comfortable capital position, I am able to grow that portfolio also. So if you see my portfolio, AAA, AA and A portfolio has come down a little, but whereas my BBB portfolio has gone up. So that is one thing. So I am open to taking risk now depending upon my capital position. My position is okay, so I will continue to take risk. That is the idea with respect to my medium and the small industry approach. With respect to large industry approach, we have not been doing much last year because rates were very fine. See, if you see our this one, what has happened was our liability franchise, of course, was very good, but NIMs were very low. If you see the margins, we had a margin of almost 2.1, 2.2, that kind of margins we had in 21-22. So we said that this is not how we should be having our liabilities. We should actually be shedding our government accounts and other accounts where margins are not at all there. So we are there was a time when people were lending at 4.5%, 5% and all. We consciously said we will not do that. That was the time when we actually did a consolidation of our RAM book. Our RAM book used to be around 50%. We have taken it to 57%, 56% today. So almost 6% growth we have shown over a period of 2.5 years in RAM book. Especially our retail and agriculture. We have grown retail very, very aggressively. We have also grown our MSME reasonably. So this is what the situation is. So we are again open to corporates for a very simple reason. Corporate book is again getting repriced because of the rate hikes. So 450 basis points increase in rate hike, naturally I am getting a good margins over there, started getting good margins. Still corporate bond market is not alive to that fact that, you know, they have to reprice their coupons. So once the corporate bond market comes back, reprice their coupons, and if I am able to get good pricing on corporates, I will be open to that. So they will all come back to me for a very simple reason. I am a two-pronged approach. One is the digitalization, services, ecosystem banking, all that, you know, ICICI does, I am also doing. All of them rollout will happen by September without any problem. Because there was a delay, there was no doubt about it. For a very simple reason, I was suffering the effect of COVID and lack of resources from the IT sector that they did not provide me, because there was a consolidation of other banks. IT resources were diverted to consolidating banks. And similarly, there was COVID, resources were diverted elsewhere where there was margins for IT industry. So I was not getting IT resources. Today, now again IT is coming back to me and giving me services. So I am able to get that. So I will be able to roll out that. That is one point. Another point is, this is how my book will get rebalanced. So we continue to actually project our RAM to corporate book at 55 to 45, 56 to 45. This is what, of course, we have given our guidance of around 58. But in this 58, there will be a lot of medium advances where margins will be there. So because they will also be governed, because MSME definition has changed. So even a mid-corporate book will come into MSME, therefore RAM book will become part of the RAM. That's why we have given guidance of 58.
Sir, every bank may implement all digital initiatives, and maybe the large bank does it first and you do it later, that doesn't matter. But all this initiative needs a lot of empowerment where your resources on the ground is concerned, be it branches or HO or ZO, whatever you want to take it. And that is the real strength of bank, which is visible in the past, it is visible today, but as seniors retire and new talent comes in the bank, I suppose with the kind of initiative which you are programming, what will you do that you engage in a better terms to re-garner those customers back?
See, basically what is happening is, almost 80% plus of our asset book is built by the branch and the general office staff. Okay, so still there is a lot of engagement over there. And of course corporate book is built through our large corporate branches even today. So there what we are trying to do is we are digitizing the processes and giving more time to our people to actually get into relationship banking, have more RSMs, get connect and form teams and go and meet them and then garner new business. So this is what we are planning. So because of the process not being digitized, this could not be achieved in the last 2 years. Once process gets digitized fully till STP basis, we will be able to do that. So many of the staff that we have in large corporate as well as in the branches and zonal offices, they will get freed for sales and service. We will be able to do a lot of sales and service and get into engagements. So there will be a lot of engagement from central office also going forward. Because we are only consolidating, as you rightly said. So we will again start do a very, very extensive outreach this year and we'll meet a lot of clients and then try to get the business.
The question was more
just to supplement Rajgopalji, I would like to say here is that we have decided now to have town hall meetings with our staff, Pan India. So as to tell them what the top management wants, what the board wants and what kind of growth we want now for this year. So there will be a lot of engagement with the staff this year through town hall meetings. Just to engage the entire staff of that NBG and that zone to make them understand what is the thrust area for the bank, like RAM credit, CASA advances, retail term deposit, that is one thing. The other thing would be that lot of customer meets, which we will be doing. Customer meet as far as the MSME advances are concerned, exporters and importers meet we would be doing, corporate credit meets we would be doing also. So that is another thing with engaging with the customers. That is another thing which we would be doing so that the customer connect happens and we engage more customers. Just to say what Rajgopalji was saying is, what we found was that our corporate credit book is holding only 500 to 550 corporate clients, which is typically 50 crore and above clients. So that number is quite low. We need to improve that number. That will also broad-base our customer client, number one corporate credit, also de-risk ourselves. Rather than concentrating on a few corporate clients, we will be de-risking by making more corporates on our book. So that is another strategy we want to do this year. So there will be town hall meetings connecting with the staff and customer meets also, wherein we will be meeting the MSME customers, mid-corporate customers, typically between 50 to 250 crore of lending, and then the large corporates, and importers and exporters meet also. So all these things together, which will be helping us. And another thing would be that, like we said, that 10% of guidance we are giving on the deposit side and 11 to 12% on the credit side. So that is a moderate guidance, not a very high guidance. But within that, what we are more optimistic about is improving our operating profit and net profit. So any business we want to do is a business which gives us profit to the bank and which is profitable for the bank. So that is how we want to approach this year 23-24, so that we have better margins, better profitability, even though the business may be 11 to 12% of growth. So this is how we want to approach it.
Sir, based on the replies what I heard from you, the rates, be it in your global book, have peaked. The Fed is more or less indicative. Domestic RBI is indicative, the rates have peaked. More or less maybe this quarter or in few days the MCLR would have peaked. And the domestic GSEC is clearly indicating it may pierce 7%, and some banks' treasuries in the con call have also guided that we may 6.75 at the year end. In view of that, pricing where corporate book or retail products are concerned and where your treasury is concerned, how are we positioning, if you could answer?
See, today if you see my weighted average yield and the segment wise weighted average yield, so we have around 9.10 in MSME and retail book. It's a very substantial pricing we are getting today. And those debt never gets repriced unless the RBLR comes up. See, our friend there, he has also asked about the composition of the book. 35% of my book is in MCLR, 50% of the book is in RBLR. Remaining, of course, are at higher rate of interest. So this 50% of the book that we are talking about will get repriced only much, much later when RBA actually comes out with an RBLR cut. I don't think that will happen in the near to medium term. That is not going to happen. So my margins in that segment are protected as of now. That is one thing. And so far as the MCLR repricing is, only very small portion of MCLR book has been repriced. So that will get repriced very, very fast because I've already passed on. So they are coming up for reset. So I'll get my interest income and my margins will continue to be protected over there. So we have a good margins over there. If you see my spread also, when I say spread, I mean the difference between yield on advances and the cost of deposit is around 5% today. Okay, so we have a good spread today. So I'll be able to protect my margins, I'll be able to grow also. In so far as the rate peaking that you are talking about, rate peaks no doubt, but no, at this current rate, so I have used to lend at 5.5%, 6%, 4.5%. Sometimes it was like that, it was below even the call rates. So that was the situation that point in time. So that will not happen. The average lending rate today, even the biggest corporates that I am giving overnight MCLR or even at RBLR, I am better off. Even at RBLR, 7.90 I am giving, even without markup. So there, even a small markup, people are willing to give a small markup of 50 bips. There also I am getting around 8.4, 8.5. There is no problem for there. That is one point. Another point is, with respect to MCLR book, even if I give at overnight MCLR, I am getting around 8% today. So margins are very good. So at that rate, I am comfortable. So why I was not doing earlier was this, because I was not getting this kind of rates. Today I am getting that rates, I will do it.
So your outlook on treasury, which I asked. Treasury
outlook in sense?
Based on whatever.
See, I will just supplement what he said. See, there are two things. Once we are talking about our loan book getting repriced, so please also understand, keep in mind that deposit will also get repriced with a lag, right? So over a period of time, that will also normalize. This is point number one. Point number two, if you see our efficiency in raising deposits, it has come down. Deposit cost has come down. As well as if you see the cost of fund, as well as the yield on fund, if you see the margin. So efficiently, we are raising the resources to fund the credit growth. So that also matters a lot. So going forward, treasury will also follow the same kind of thing. They will raise the resources based on the liquidity requirement by the system, internal system, very efficiently. So we'll try to minimize our cost of raising resources there. And whatever repricing happens, in case it happens on downward side, so this will take care. This will also take care, and deposit will also get repriced, because we are never aggressive in raising deposit at a very high rate. You would have seen in the market. So this is point number one. Treasury going forward, they have taken a call. I think we are having a very moderate duration at this point in time, and we have built our books also over a period of last 2-3 months. And going forward, we will continue with the same trend, and the view is same. Whatever you said, it has peaked out, because it is in the public domain. It's not a big thing, and it's a matter of time when it happens. Maybe from October onwards, it starts happening. So at that time, we'll take a call. So as it is, we are comfortable. We are having 4% excess SLR, so there is no, absolutely, we can always do the arbitrage based on the market borrowing and all that. So treasury is doing that job, and interest income will always move up in this direction.
So far as the yield is concerned, if you are very particular about our yields and MTMs there in AFS and HTM portfolio, I can tell you that, you know, FRB, we are in a unique position that we have hold a good amount of floating rate bonds. So the repricing has happened to on the upside in floating rate bonds for us. So therefore, our yields are also protected very well in our AFS and HTM portfolio. So there also we don't have problem that, you know, some many other banks face.
So we're expecting good gains in the trading.
Yeah, yes, precisely. So our MTM losses are very minimal.
So you might have passed many enabling resolution for Tier 1, Tier 2, equity and all.
Yeah.
Is any kind of thought process during the year? I'm not saying at front end, but during the year?
Already passed. Yeah, see, already the board has approved that equity raising plan, like 6,500 crores, out of which 4,500 is that equity and 2,000 is that bond. So that is already there. So in the quarter coming up, definitely we will be coming to the market and raising some funds, maybe in the form of bonds also.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, sir.
We take.
Can you just ask him to? Because he has been requested. What's your name, sir?
Jay Mundra, sir.
Nice meeting you, Mr. Jay Mundra,
personal. Yeah, thanks, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions on slippages, sir.
I am familiar with your voice, not with your face.
So, sir, on the slippages, last two quarters we had 1200 crore slippages. This quarter slippages have increased. Right, and even net of recovery upgrades, last two quarters we had negative slippages, and this quarter is positive net slippages. This is actually in divergent versus the broader sectoral trend where the slippages have been improving. So just wanted to understand, you know, what has happened.
Should I? Sir, Mitraji, as I told you earlier also, this yes, you are right, the spike has happened in the last quarter. This is just precisely in this total of 2,800, it's 1,400 is only because of agricultural advances. These agricultural advances were during the COVID times, moratoriums were given, and there are some sect of agriculturists who could able to renew their KCC, it's mostly KCC advances. So some of the farmers who could not do it, and you know that the bank has already from 21 onwards the IRAC automation is set in. So this accounts because of the non-renewal time has fallen. But nevertheless, what we are doing is how do we mitigate is already we have started that. In the month of February itself, specific teams have been formed in the zone regional offices, and they are account specific targets and have been given to them to meet the farmers per se to ensure that they come back, renew the advances. If that renewal happens, which is very aggressively happening, in the last month itself, we were able to upgrade about 450 crores. So that renewal, if we continuously engage with the agriculturists in all, as our MD and CEO said, that meetings with customers. Similarly, so are the segment of these guys will be meeting in the village camps. That's what we intend to do. We have already started doing in various zones where mostly it is in UP, Madhya Pradesh, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh. These are the segments where there is a lot of pain points where we'll engage more closely with them, and I'm sure that will not cause any problems. Once their renewal takes place, they are going to get an incentive also, interest subvention as from payment. They will openly adhere to that. That's the roadmap we have.
Sure. And so this quarter, at least in first Q, we should be seeing as this KCC renewal progress steps up, right, there should be a reasonable amount of recovery from the account which have already slipped, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. secondly, sir, on this, I think this question was asked earlier. There is a spike in the non-performing investment provisions, and there is a treasury gain spike, right? So I think the provisions which now earlier were standard SR, they have now recognized as NPI.
Yes.
The similar offset has been in the treasury gains also, right? Is that right?
It's very small. It's marginal gain, not much. If you see the number, it's a marginal gain.
Okay, because sir, I remember that we had already provided 100% on security receipts.
Yeah, precisely. Yes, you are right.
So in this quarter, why is there a, you know, NPI hit?
No, it is not like that. See, there were some SR investments which were actually not classified as NPIs, but continue to be investments where 100% has already been provided for, but shown as a MTM depreciation than as a provision. So it's a question of basically accounting. Instead of getting accounted as provisions, it was accounted for as depreciation. Now it has moved from depreciation to provision. Only that.
Which is because of the RBI circular. Which says if 8 years is over, then you have to classify as NPA.
Only that. Sorry.
Right.
So that is the accounting treatment we have to do for that.
Right. So we were already carrying the provisions.
Yes.
So what is the offset, sir? So we have shown this as a provision in this quarter. But if we were already carrying the provision, there must be some offset.
The offset is only to the extent of the reversal that happens in the provision. No? Because what happens is there is some the actual book value, face value and MTM values. MTM values in SRs are based on recovery rates. If you see R1 rating, R2 rating, R3 rating, R4 rating, R5 rating, depending upon that the provision happens. So whereas once it becomes NPA, as per IRAC norms it happens. So some marginal difference is always there between MTM and the provisions that we make under the IRAC circulars. So to that extent set off happens.
Right. Okay, and lastly on capital raise, sir, so now we are in decent position, and we earlier were also there, and as you said that we are targeting 11-12% kind of a loan growth. What could be the timeline for capital raise if you have in your mind? Equity capital raise, sir.
Yeah. So presently we have not thought of, we are waiting. We'll talk to the analysts and others and then understand what is the best right time to go for that equity raise. And another important thing is we may not go for 4,500 immediately totally. Maybe we will go in one tranche, two tranche, three, depending on the market situation and scenario.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We'll take the last question from the...
Sir, can you highlight our liability mix and how do we improve our cost to income ratio? Where do you see?
Liability mix in sense?
Yeah.
Retail versus wholesale?
Yeah.
So,
the entire thing is retail. We have got only 11% in terms of bulk deposits. 10%. 10% to be precise.
So, 44% is our CASA in the total liability side. The remaining is the term deposit. Out of that also only 10% is bulk. Remaining is all retail term deposit up to 2 crores.
Yes.
So Bank of India has a very strong retail franchise. We have 5,100 plus branches and then we have 7 crore plus customers. So the retail franchise is one of the core domain area and the strength for the bank.
Do you see challenge in gathering the deposits? I mean, system wise the credit offtake is going up, so many banks have challenges in deposit gathering, so to the tune of credit offtake which is happening. So do you see any challenges there?
In this month we have not seen, see for example, 31st of March 2023, the FI is over. Okay. Now we have done business for 1 month. It's already April and May started. So we have not seen, we have grown reasonably well in deposits this month. And month on month growth, if you envisage, whatever guidance that we have given for deposits will be actually surpassing it if we continue to achieve this. So I see a lot of traction in my retail deposit growth. Okay.
And more
so
than
I
that,
don't
there is a retail term deposit to total term deposit, 82% is that. Our intention is to take it to 85%. It was 80%. We have increased to 82%. That means we are able to get the deposits, resource mobilization.
Renewals
not an issue.
Happen there, very well.
And do you see any cost to income improvement, that ratio? Or?
So naturally, because basically see our yields are improving substantially. Once yield improves, the denominator effect will happen. So cost income ratio, because our cost has happened mostly because of IT investments and the staff cost because of the settlement that has happened with this staff bipartite settlement and other family pension and other provisions that we have made under AS50. So these things have actually done and dusted now. And added to that, you know, we are also going to get a good denominator effect in view of the good yields that we will get. So our cost income ratio will be as projected at 47%.
And do you find any sector vulnerable which you worry is that this sector might be more careful going forward next one?
Yeah, see, it is actually an ongoing basis. We do it on a continuous basis. We don't take a call in the beginning of the year and say that this sector is vulnerable. You don't know. So you'll have to continuously keep on assessing it and continue to do it. But basically, you know, our exposure is based on the credentials, and credit risk is something completely different. It has nothing to do with the equity risk. Equity risk is taken completely differently. Credit risk is taken completely differently. Even a sector is bad for equity, but it may be good for credit risk point of view because it's collaterals, it is tangible network, we have cash flows. There are a lot of factors that come in. So rating takes into consideration a lot of metrics on the basis of which we take credit risk. So it is no sector is untouchable for us, but there are certain sectors where continue to be stress based on our the impaired assets ratio that to the total exposure that we have. We'll continue to monitor them. That's all.
And sir, exposure to airlines and real estate as a segment, what percentage of the book will be there?
So we don't have any exposure to airlines except Air India, which is now Tata's.
To small extent.
So we have around 17% exposure in CRE. So it is there.
In?
CRE, that is commercial real estate. So it's a very small, it's a growth actually.
CRE
it's
is
a growth.
Growth.
It's a growth.
CRE is
CRE is very small percentage.
3,000 crores. Road book we have.
Percentage domestic advance 0.7, if you see that.
Real estate is 86,000 crores. So that.
Which one?
So within that there is residential mortgage in which housing loan is there.
Housing loan, home loan, loan against property, small loans, all those things are.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
The credit cost will be sub 0.5?
Credit cost guidance 0.75 we are giving.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sri Rajneesh Karnatak and the Bank of India management's team. We will now conclude this gathering. Our team will share all the necessary details.
One question from him.
So then,
Okay,
online. I think
more important as
online. Yes, we have the question. Please ask.
Thank you. Sir, you basically talked about the ROA expanding by about almost 25 basis points in this year. Whereas basically you talked about that the margins would largely stabilize. So barring the credit cost coming off on a YY basis, is there any other lever that you see? You talked about cost ratios coming down. I mean, every year we would have some or the other, you know, staff at which would come. You know, we have family pension, we will have something else. Obviously, the salary hikes also will happen, your new staff addition will happen as I think you try to grow your book. So, what could be those levers that you feel? So, not only talk about the cost income ratio, if you can talk about in terms of the NII to assets, cost to assets, you know, how basically a DuPont will really flow for this 25 basis point expansion.
See, basically what, no, that's a very good question. Basically what we have done is, to a great extent, we are front loading our staff cost. You see, we have already done 202. So we don't expect, almost 33% is what we have already provided for. How much? 33% plus is already provided for. So we have a substantial cushion in terms of the rise in the staff cost going forward. That is one point. So we are not looking at cost going very, very high. Because see, if you see the numerator, I am not very worried about numerator of the cost in all aspects. In the, if you take entire expenses, whether it is in the interest expenses or in the OPEX, I am not looking at huge increase in the numerator. So it will be, increase will be there nevertheless, but not in a very significant increase that will affect my cost to assets, cost to other things. So my credit cost, apart from credit cost, cost to assets are going to be severely impacted. That is one point. As another point that we are talking about, in so far as the denominator is concerned, my cost to assets, you know, fairly it has stabilized and continue to be there. So I have become very competitive in terms of my credit cost. My cost of credit, to be very precise. So, naturally, I will be able to actually garner better yields. So, once I garner better yields, I will be able to do that. That's what the idea is. So, the levers, as you said, is going to come from, major part of it will come from mid-corporate book and corporate book. And apart from that, the RAM book, anyway, we are growing very, very robustly. Even today, my retail loans are giving good yields. So if you see, the home loans have also reached around 9.25% plus. So that is one advantage we have. And apart from that, personal loans have also gone, once upon a time, it was given at 10.75. Now we are already seeing at around 15-16% being given. So delinquencies will be there in that, no doubt. But you know, we have to choose, we have to actually underwrite properly and ensure that, you know, we don't grow very, very aggressively. Because another advantage we have is our base is very small. So we have a huge opportunity to grow. If you see our home loan base, it is small. We see a personal loan base, it is small. Vehicle loan base, it is small. We don't hold huge market share in these segments. So we have a lot of opportunity in terms of increasing market share without compromising on the margins, without compromising on the quality of assets. That's what our outlook is.
But then basically, if you look at mathematically, right, your asset book is going to grow at somewhere about 11-12% broadly in line with the loans.
Yeah.
Your OPEX will grow at about 10-11%, right? So then basically your cost to assets really doesn't improve. If you look at your NI to assets, whatever said and done, we know
not
that...
Not necessarily at 10%. See, I am not looking at, because
see,
my...
interest income will be another thrust now. This year.
See, further also he had said, a lot of things we are automating. The moment we automate the things for micro segment, that staff
how much,
will be free.
How much difference will that make, sir?
That will make huge difference, because
if you can quantify, that is basically feel.
If my micro
can you quantify that?
If my micro, entire micro segment, majority of it is addressed by my online things, and automatically those staffs will be free, na? So I will not log.
But that's what I'm saying. Your cost will increase by 11-12% or no this year.
That's what we.
It can't be sub 10%, right? All along.
No, my point is no. I'm not. From mathematically also, I'm not looking at that kind of increase, because see, you are looking at a corresponding increase of, say, for example, I am looking at 12% increase in the credit, or even in the asset book. You are saying that my cost is definitely will go up. So cost has got two components, I have already told you. One is basically interest expenses component, another is an OPEX component. I have said my OPEX is already absorbed. I have front-loaded a lot of my OPEX. So there is hardly any increase in the OPEX that will happen going forward. Of course, staff costs are there, the staff costs are already front-loaded. In other OPEX costs, mostly so 600 crores we already taken. So it is actually, it will be stable insofar as OPEX cost is concerned. Interest expenses are not going to increase. That's what I see, because a lot of repricing has already happened. If you see my repricing of my liability franchise, almost 70% of my liability franchise is repriced. And it is almost on par with what the industry liability rates are. So that is one point. So 30% has to be repriced. That will depend upon how, if there is a rate hike, then there will be repricing on the deposits. So I don't foresee a rate increase there. So if rate increase is not there, my liability need not be repriced. So there I find stability over there. There is a reason why I am saying I am not looking at 11% increase in the expenses. Overall total leverage. See, today what last 5-6 years I have been looking at overheads. So I'll give you another number that you know it'd be interesting to you. Overheads number is around 1.5% by we look at for the purpose of fixing MCLR. It has not gone up for quite some time insofar as I am concerned. Despite all these provisions and all. So my overheads continues to be hovering around 1.1.6. So as long as it hovers around 1.1.5 to 1.6, I will not have any problem in terms of my cost to assets. So that's what. Only if that overheads goes up, there is a problem. That's I already told you, overheads will not go up because my OPEX has stabilized. Okay, so interest expenses are not likely to go up because the external environment, the rate has stabilized. So these are the levers on the basis of which I am actually projecting my growth.
Sure. Cost to income 51% is there, present ratio. The guidance we have given is around 47.5. So that is another thing where it will come. And another important thing is the non-interest income which will be driving this year very strongly. So 7,000 crore plus we had a non-interest income this year for the whole 12 months. So this year definitely we will try to get it as high as possible.
Last quarter you had 0.45. This quarter it has gone up.
Yeah.
It can again come back to 46.46.47.
This is actually because of the quarter one effect. Yes. Because since annualized, you are finding at 51. But no,
so secondly, the question is to MD and CEO. So basically, you've come from Union Bank, where we have seen some kind of cultural shift or some tightening that we have seen over there, which obviously the investors have liked. We have seen that reflecting into the stock price as well. You believe that kind of thing need to be done in Bank of India, number one. I know it's been not many days that you've been over here. Secondly is that that's from the cultural shift. Secondly is that basically how do you, what are the weaknesses that you see in Bank of India when you were there in Union Bank, right? I'm sure that peer comparison always there in terms of that this is a portfolio where they are strong, where this is a portfolio where they're not that strong. Underwriting needs to be strengthened, risk management needs to be strengthened. So any gaps that you basically identified and that you would want to address at least in the first year of your job?
Yeah, so the second question I will ask the first. See, it is too early for me to do a comparison. So both have different starting points. There was an amalgamation which happened in Union Bank. In Bank of India, there has been no amalgamation. So that is the basic point. Another thing, starting point for both the banks are different, and it is too early for me to give what are the strong points and weak points. It is just 1 week that I have joined over here. As far as the cultural shift which you are saying, which happened in Union Bank, which the market is taking it very positively. Here also I would like to say is that in today's board meeting I also said that we will also go through certain transformational journeys, whether it is on the IT side, digital side, structural side, and also on the HR side. So these are the things which will change the mindset of the staff and also the clients. So what I was saying earlier, that there will be town hall meetings with the staff, there will be customer outreach. All these things will not only help the credit to grow, but also the recovery to happen once we go outreach to the defaulters also. All that kind of thing will help. And Union Bank, if you compare with on one point on the CASA side, Bank of India is very strong. So 44% of CASA with a 7 crore deposit franchise, that is big. So there are already very strong points which are clearly evident on the slides itself. So definitely the starting points are different, but with the transformational journeys that will be taking place, which will be taking over the next 12 months, definitely the things will change for the better.
Best wishes, sir.
Thank you.
Since we've been so kind enough to extend ourselves here, this is one last question from the digital attendee. The question is, what is the impact of RBI consultation paper proposal for ECL for next year? How much impact on capital adequacy will be there? What's BOI's position?
So,
you'll answer?
You'll answer or?
You want me to answer? Kumar is there, no? Yes. Kumar, you can give it to Kumar. Kumar can answer.
SCR will answer.
with respect to the ECL is concerned, we have already done our whatever the feedback we have to give to IBA, whatever the thing that we have already given to IBA to consolidate and give to RBI. That point you have taken. And internally, we have assessed also. I think our additional capital requirement will be in the range of 20 to 25,000 crore additional capital we will be requiring and staggering in a period of 5 years. That is what, based on that projection only, this year when we went for our capital plan also, we are projecting around 4,500 crore raising of the equity capital. So, we already given it to spread it for next 5 years. I think we are in a comfortable position. That is, not much is going to affect as far as the doing the business is concerned. So that way we are planning from the very beginning of the guidance note has come, and we are also planning to engage in consultant for guiding us for in the very beginning to whole approach of ECL. That is also in the pipeline. And you all know very well, last 2-3 years we are presenting the projected numbers with regard to ECL numbers, India S numbers to RBI. I think we are also getting the feedback feeler. Yes, what would be, where are we standing and what we are going to move, that already we are having a feel. So no problem, that we can migrate it very smoothly. That is not a concern for us as for the time being, as we are having a well plans in already in place. Thank you.
I hope that answers your question, Mr. Manoj. That will be all from the analyst meet. Thank you, Sri Rajneesh Karnatak and the Bank of India's management team. We will now conclude this gathering. We request you to please help yourself to some refreshments and join us out for some snacks. Thank you everyone for being here today. Good evening and thanks.